The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Delighted to be joined in studio by one of the real assets of News Talk. You know, he's there with Moncrief. He comes in with Kieran on the hard shoulder, and he has a trolley full of loo paper, a trolley full of all sorts of rubbish that you'd never want to buy and essentials, and he does cost comparisons. And look, if Simon Tierney was doing an item on running a bath, he would make it interesting. So this coming Sunday will mark the 50th anniversary. That would be the 8th of September 1974, I'm thinking, of the pardon of President Richard Nixon, an action carried out by his successor. You'll recall he was ousted after winning the 72 election, and Gerald Ford, he got a second term, Nixon. He had to resign, and Gerald Ford made the decision that divided a nation. Now the whole notion of executive clemency could potentially be cast in a new light if Donald Trump, himself a convicted felon, actually decides to pardon himself if he wins in November. A self-pardon, as it would be, the first time in American history. So welcome, Simon. Tell us what happened 50 years ago this Sunday.
Ivan, good morning. Good to be with you. So, yeah, when Gerald Ford, Nixon's vice president, when he assumed the Oval Office, he took the explosive decision, I suppose, to use his executive privilege to pardon his predecessor of any crimes, quote unquote, that he might have carried out against the United States. Now, this was historic, Ivan, because it was the first and only time until now that a president had been pardoned. And this is how Ford announced his decision to the American people during a TV address from the Oval Office.
I feel that Richard Nixon and his loved ones have suffered enough and will continue to suffer no matter what I do, no matter what we as a great and good nation can do together to make his goal of peace come true. Now, therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, pursuant to the pardon power conferred upon me by Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, have granted, and by these presents do grant, a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon for all offenses against the United States which he, Richard Nixon, has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from July 20, 1969 through August 9, 1974.
Okay, so that was the official announcement of the pardon, first time ever. So this brings us, of course, to Watergate itself. There was movies, I think it was All the President's Men or different things.
Yeah.
I watched
Bob Woodward.
I was about 15. Like, when were you born?
83.
All right.
I was...
Okay. See, there's no point in talking to people. They weren't around for this.
I was a Reagan, Reagan
I should
baby.
Be talking to George Hook, who remembers all this vividly. He was going strong in the 40s. All right, so to receive a pardon from the president, just tell me what type of felony you have to be have to have committed, and what exactly was he pardoned for?
Yeah, okay. So the crimes concerned the burglary of the Democratic National Committee headquarters, which of course were in the Watergate complex. The Watergate Hotel is still there to this day. You can still go and stay there. This was in DC, of course. But the crimes are also about the subsequent cover-up. And the burglary was carried out by these sort of shady minions of Nixon's re-election committee, which was headed up, if you remember, Ivan, by his attorney general, John Mitchell, who really got it. He was the talking about heads rolling. He was the head that eventually rolled apart from Nixon. And the whole point of this was to find dirt on Nixon's rivals. But it's really important to draw a distinction, I think, between the break-in itself and the subsequent cover-up. And it was the cover-up which Nixon was directly involved in. And this created the setting for the pardon to take place. Now, Nixon's actions were considered an obstruction of justice and an abuse of power for political purposes.
Right. And so what actually happened here was, over his period as president, he had kept a series of tapes. And these were called the smoking gun tape in particular. I don't know whether he was doing it for a memoir or what, or, you know, whether he was suspicious at meetings, he wanted to keep a sort of record of them. But these came back to haunt him.
Yeah, this is really fascinating for me, because he wasn't the first president to tape things unbeknownst to his guests in the Oval Office. LBJ Johnson had taped his guests as well, but he was the first president to do it on an industrial scale. Like, we're talking thousands of hours of footage, which still exists to this day. You can listen to them in the Nixon archives. But he had insisted on secretly tape recording every single conversation that took place. And he was using, Ivan, this sound-activated Sony open-reel device, which he had placed covertly under his desk in the Oval Office. And now, this really did come back to bite him in the ass, because he thought that this was going to cover himself, but in fact, it came up to be used against him.
So let's zone in on the particular specific incriminating tape.
Okay, so the smoking gun tape. Now, he had released a series of tapes to the inquiry which was examining Watergate, but he had omitted a certain tape which he was eventually subpoenaed into releasing. This was the smoking gun, okay, because it featured White House Chief of Staff Bob Haldeman suggesting that they, Nixon administration, that they coerced the CIA into asking the FBI to halt their investigations into the burglary on so-called national security grounds and thereby get Nixon out of Dodge City. Now, what we're going to listen to here, Ivan, is, now forgive, the listeners will need to forgive that this is 50 years old. It was recorded under the desk in the Oval Office. The fidelity of the recording isn't brilliant, but this is the moment that cost Nixon the presidency. This was recorded from under his desk on the Oval Office, 23rd of June 1972 at about 10 a.m. I've edited it down so that we can hear the moment when Haldeman suggests that he makes a suggestion and then Nixon's response, where he appears to agree to the conspiracy.
But the way to handle this now is for us to have Walters call Pat Gray and just say, stay the hell out of this. This is there's business here, we don't want you going any further on. That's not an unusual development. And they'll stop if we take this other side.
So it incriminated himself. So the pardon itself for his former boss by Gerald Ford, how did it go down with the public?
It was really controversial. It was explosive, as I said at the beginning of the item, Ivan. At the time, about 59% disapproved of the decision. Interestingly, I was looking at more recent figures. The pardon has actually grown with acceptance, with the distance of time. I think what's particularly intriguing for me about Gerald Ford's own personal wrangling with the decision to issue the pardon is that he later revealed in a subsequent interview that after he left, that he had spent his remaining 2 years in office constantly carrying around in his pocket a little piece of paper with a section of a Supreme Court decision from 1915, which stated that a presidential pardon carries an imputation of guilt and that its acceptance carries a confession of guilt. And it's interesting that Ford used this dictum, I suppose, Ivan, to justify his decision on a personal level.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you think a deal was done that his resignation, which elevated Ford to be president, was on the basis that he would get a pardon, maybe?
Well, I don't think so, because they actually had to convince Nixon to take a pardon. Initially, Nixon didn't want to take a pardon for the very reason that I just said there, that accepting a pardon is an imputation of guilt. And Nixon always believed that he wasn't guilty of high crimes against the United States.
Okay, and then, so it was deeply unpopular. What did the Congress, the Senate, Capitol Hill do about it?
Yeah, so a congressional hearing was announced. The Americans love a good congressional hearing. But the really interesting thing in this case is that there was a president being heard. So that was an unusual situation, a panel of rabid politicians interrogating him on live television. But it was equally, I suppose, Ivan, an opportunity for the new president to explain the logic of his decision to the American people.
But I would like to say that the reason I gave the pardon was not as to Mr. Nixon himself. I repeat with emphasis, the purpose of the pardon was to try and get the United States, the Congress, the President, and the American people focusing on the serious problems we have both at home and abroad. And I was absolutely convinced then, as I am now, that if we had had this series, an indictment, a trial, a conviction, and anything else that transpired after that, that the attention of the President, the Congress, and the American people would have been diverted from the problems that we have to solve. And that was the principal reason for my granting of the pardon.
So this remains a power of a president to this day. Have they been used much?
Yeah, so what's funny about it is that presidents, sitting presidents, they often tend to issue the most pardons in the dying hours of their presidency, where they sort of scramble to issue them before they have to leave the White House. So far, Biden's only issued 25 individual pardons. Trump pardoned 143 people during his 4 years in office, but 116 of those took place in January of 2021, just before he was kicked out of the White House. So among Trump's notable pardonees were his former advisor, Steve Bannon, the rapper Lil Wayne. Don't know if you're familiar with him, Ivan. He'd been convicted for...
No, I've escaped him, yeah.
He was convicted for possession of a firearm as a convicted felon. Among the more popular pardons carried out by Biden was he issued a categorical pardon. This is where you pardon a whole group of people who have been convicted of a very particular crime. And that was people who were convicted of marijuana possession on state lands. That was in December of last year. You can imagine that was quite a popular one.
Now, to bring it right up to date,
sure.
I think Trump has said that those people who've convicted in relation to the riots in January the 6th will be, and I think Giuliani has been specifically mentioned as someone that he might pardon and so on. What about this issue of pardoning himself?
Yeah, this is interesting because when I looked at this during my research, it's not as black and white.
Oh, you do research, do you?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I don't just wander in here.
I thought you knew all this stuff.
When I was looking at it, his views have really evolved on this. I found a tweet from 2018, which he probably wouldn't like to see. There's always a tweet, as we say, with Trump. During the Russia investigation in 2018, when the possibility of collusion between his campaign and the Kremlin on election interference was being analysed, he tweeted the following: I have the absolute right to pardon, in capital letters, myself, but why would I do that when I've done nothing wrong? He asked.
Right. Okay. So you alluded there to the difference between federal crimes and state crimes.
This is key. Yeah.
So he's already been indicted on so many charges in relation to the commercial stuff, was it, in New York?
The hush money.
Yeah, the Stormy Daniels stuff. He has about three other separate court cases. Is there some elements of which he can't pardon himself?
Absolutely, yeah. So the situation in New York, that's where he's a convicted felon. It's a state crime that he was convicted of. So Trump actually wouldn't be able to pardon himself over the Stormy Daniels case because presidential pardons, they only apply to federal crimes. But He's also been charged for his attempt to derail the result of the 2020 election, of course. And that's a federal case. And legal scholars, they're really actually quite divided on whether or not he could pardon himself there. This is what he had to say on NBC in 2023, Ivan.
I could have pardoned myself. Do you know what? I was given an option to pardon myself. I could have pardoned myself when I left. People said, would you like to pardon yourself? I had a couple of attorneys that said, you can do it if you want. I had some people that said it would look bad if you do it, because I think it would look terrible. I said, here's the story. These people are thugs, horrible people, fascists, Marxists, sick people. They've been after me from the day I came down the escalator with Melania. And I did a great job as president. People are acknowledged. Great economy, great jobs, great this, great that. Rebuilt the military, Space Force, everything. I could go on forever. Let me just tell you. I said the last thing I'd ever do is give myself a pardon.
Well, would you believe it? Someone said to me randomly, who lives in the States, don't rule out that one of the last things he did before the 5th of January 2020 was to give himself a pardon up to that date in case he didn't get re-elected, and he put it in a safe. Is that even, like, it's a conspiracy theory. Is it even possible?
There's no evidence to suggest that that is true, the idea that he put this pardon in a safe. But never say never. If he does get back into office and there are federal indictments, which we know that there are, but if there are federal convictions, you never know what he could have up his sleeve. But more importantly, Ivan, we know now that he has convinced the conservative-leaning Supreme Court to provide broad immunity to presidents and to those in the executive chair. So that's also going to cover him.
Tell us about this. We're on the countdown to the 5th of November. You're doing a special series for News Talk, weekly series.
So
tell us about this.
In the last election, we did the News Talk presidential coverage with Race to the White House. We're going to be bringing that back this year for this election. It's going to be starting in late September, and we're going to run it right up to Election Day on November the 5th.
Okay, get the popcorn ready. My thanks, Simon Tierney, for that interesting story. 50 years ago this Sunday, the pardon by President Gerald Ford of former President Richard Nixon.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.